Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at
Menards. If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
The Neverland Podcast, episode 25. Pretty cool, I've got to 25. I'm Jeremy, host of the Neverland Podcast, found at neverlandpodcast.com. This is my show on iTunes and Stitcher. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I plugged in my microphone and said, "By the power of Neverland, I am a podcast!" I became a mighty podcast host, and Neverland became the geekiest podcast on the internet. There are other things I feature besides Disney, Marvel, Thundercats, and He-Man. Together, we defend Neverlanders from the evil boredom of adulthood. Welcome back to Neverland. It is I, of course, your usual host, Jeremy. And I've got to remind you once again, you got to pull out that pixie, shake her around, and get your happy thoughts so you can come with me to Neverland here once again. We've planned a really big show here today. This is going to be an all X-Men show. Of course, as you probably know, there is a new movie coming out, X-Men Days of Future Past, which is actually out today. The funny thing is how this is put together is I'm recording this on Friday night. I have plans to see this movie on Saturday morning, and I've already recorded a little discussion about the X-Men back on, what was that, Tuesday? So everything I've recorded out of sync of how you're going to hear it, but that's just the fun of being able to record things and assemble them and put them out here for you. So, but this is going to be a complete X-Men themed show, which kind of makes this another Disney themed show because Disney, you know, has bought Marvel. So it's, you know, ends up, you know, I'm trying not to become a complete Disney podcast, but I might as well admit sometimes I am kind of a Disney podcast in my own way, because let's face it, they bought me out as soon as they bought Marvel and Star Wars and Indiana Jones. And if they end up owning Doctor Who and Star Trek next, then, you know, there's just nothing left for me that isn't going to be a Disney thing. So, anyways, we've got some fun there. As I said, we're going to go and review the movie. We're going to go and have a nice discussion about some of the history and some of our things that we enjoy about X-Men, be it video games and cartoons and things like that. But before we go on further, I do want to remind you all that if you go to neverlandpodcast.com, underneath the header, you'll see FOTM. If you would kindly click on FOTM, you will also then see a link that says click here to go to my Kickstarter. I do have a Kickstarter campaign running right now. I'm trying to be able to get out to the Friends of the Magic out in Disneyland in order to be able to film and complete a DVD, which you can pre-order on the Kickstarter page. Also, I'll record lots of audio that I can use here on the show. Other rewards you can choose from, you can choose from t-shirts. I have a 2009 Walt Disney World DVD that's already created that you can also order that as your reward. Lots of different options. I'd appreciate all the help I can get. Right now, we're on a very slow start. I need to get this going if I'm going to have this happen. Otherwise, I'll just have to do different things for the show. But I think that you would really enjoy the content that I could get from this event. If you're not familiar with this event, go back and listen to the Paul Berry show if you have not already. Or if you have never listened to Window to the Magic before, you can go back through his archives. You can hear some of the times, some of the recordings he's done from Friends of the Magic. So I plan on covering that, but I got to get myself out there, and I need your help to do it. So once again, go to neverlandpodcast.com, click on the FOTM, and then click on the link to go straight over to my Kickstarter project, and I do appreciate your support. That's all the sponsorship really I've got going on, other than I do have a sponsor section for Roku. If you are considering purchasing a Roku device, and I have some more incentive to purchase a Roku device, here later you're going to hear me mention the Warner Archives Instant Streaming Service, something that's very new to me. There's all kinds of different stuff from Warner Brothers on there, which is available on Roku. Also, if you're interested in the WWE Network, that is also found on Roku, and you can purchase a Roku directly through my website. There's a little link there, a little picture of a Roku symbol. That does help out the show. Also, you can support a friend of mine's website. What is that? Dito.biz, I believe. But she's got a link there. She helped design, if you look at the logo I've been using on the show, it's also on the website, or it's kind of the He-Man thing. She did the lettering. She also does some other artwork and everything, does web design and stuff like that. So if you're actually looking for some good professional web art or art creation, I do recommend her website as well. Also, you'll find on the website that we do have friends of the show, including...
C-3PO.
Loki.
Mace Windu.
Dr. Bruce Banner.
Captain Rex.
Venom.
Princess Leia.
Jean Grey.
Darth Maul.
Nick Fury.
Grand Moff Tarkin.
Captain America.
Lando Calrissian.
Cyclops.
What do all these characters have in common?
Well, two of them were played by Samuel L. Jackson.
A couple of them were played by Hammer Films veterans Peter Cushing and Christopher Lee.
Come on, guys. You know this.
Well, of course we do, Jessica. Just like Mickey Mouse and Captain Jack Sparrow, they're all now Disney characters. Hello, I'm Tracy of the Disney Indiana podcast, and my co-host Scott and I enjoy talking about all aspects of the House of Mouse, and that includes their newest properties, Marvel and LucasArts.
We also talk about Disney resorts, the cruise line, theme parks, and whatever else Mickey has to offer.
Which includes movies, Imagineering, video games, and collectibles. You'll never know what we'll decide to talk about.
So check us out at www.disneyindiana.com or do a search for the Disney Indiana podcast on iTunes, because now we've got a lot more to talk about.
And don't forget about those other quote-unquote Disney characters like, well, Sully.
Fozzie Bear.
Buzz Lightyear.
Link Hogthrob.
Doug.
Janice.
Merida.
Pepe.
Bruce.
Ralph the Dog.
Wally.
Dr. The Disney Bunsen Indiana Honeydew. Podcast. Syndrome. Even after 5 years, we're still miles away from the nearest Main Street, USA. We're not listed on the map, but you can join us at www.disneyindiana.com.
Okay, now I do want to remind you, not only can you find me at neverlandpodcast.com, but we do have an email address, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Send me anything you'd like to, any comments about the show, how much you're enjoying it, something you wish that I would talk about on the show, or if you have any fun audio clips that you'd like to share, you know, just whatever you feel like sending me. I love getting them. I had some people send me some video, but they didn't give me permission to share the audio with me. It was actually something that Paul Berry and I had spoken about with Jim Cummings over at UCLA. Somebody sent me some video. It was really a lot of fun, but without permission to share it, I'm going to not share it unless something changes there. But I do enjoy getting that type of content. Just gotta, you know, as long as it's okay for me to share it online, just let me know. Also, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Neverland Podcast, or, hey, follow us on Twitter, @NeverlandPcast. All right, well, now that that is all out of the way, I say it's about time we got to some news. Okay, well, let's get started with this. Godzilla director Gareth Edwards is to direct not only a sequel to Godzilla, but also an unnamed 2016 Star Wars spinoff film. Pretty exciting, huh? Gary Whitma is set to write the screenplay, but no word yet on which spinoff this is going to be. I'm not even sure how many spinoffs they're really going to go for. I think we've heard previously that there was at least two, like a Han Solo and a Boba Fett, but, you know, the expanding universe, you never know, they might just go for it. So we'll find out here, hopefully very soon, on which one he's working on. An official announcement from Marvel Studios. This is their exact announcement that they released to the press. Marvel and Edgar Wright jointly announced today that the studio and director have parted ways on Ant-Man due to differences in their vision of the film. The decision to move on is amicable and does not impact the release date on July 17, 2015. A new director will be announced shortly. Now, Wright co-wrote Ant-Man with Joe Cornish, so does this mean the script is going to be altered? I mean, I guess he still could get a screen credit. It's still amicable, but I kind of have to wonder about that because they didn't like his vision. So, I mean, was there something in this that he added in the script, you know, that maybe they didn't like? Word was Kevin Feige was happy with his vision at some point. I don't know what has happened here, what has transpired, but apparently it's amicable, and I'm still excited about the potential for this movie. Now, Michael Douglas is set to play Hank Pym, who's, of course, a biochemist who creates a method to communicate with ants and to also alter his size. And yet we have Paul Rudd playing Scott Lang, who is the Ant-Man. Well, no word if we're going to see Hank Pym as Ant-Man at any time during the movie, because after all, he was the original Ant-Man. And what about Wasp? I haven't heard anything, but she'd have to, I guess, be played by someone near Douglas's age, right? You know, I'd like to see Wasp included, but, you know, I'd like to see an Ant-Man and Wasp kind of team in there. And they really kind of aimed for an older Hank Pym, which Michael Douglas, great actor. He'll be an awesome Hank Pym. I'm just not sure how they're going to work it all together. I'm not sure what the plan is. But we'll see. I'm still excited for this, and I would love to see him as part of the Avengers eventually. Well, hey, did you see the teaser image saying that the new Doctor Who is coming in August? Are you as excited as I am? We don't know anymore other than Peter Capaldi is going to be the new Doctor, and it's coming in August. It was really vague, and it is really kind of a tease. They kind of did, you know, there was previously some pictures of him kind of in this kind of cool pose, and you kind of see the costuming and the suit he's going to wear. But this one, this was a neat image where it kind of had the inside of the TARDIS look like something was kind of on fire in the background or something, kind of exciting looking picture, and then it just kind of had a sort of a shadow of Peter Capaldi. Kind of in the same pose that he was in the previous images. So either way, though, very exciting. Finally, you know, August can't get here soon enough. Especially Guardians of the Galaxy, there was a new trailer that came out, and that's August 1st when Guardians of the Galaxy is going to come out. This new trailer looks fantastic. I'm getting quite excited for this. I did, from Free Comic Book Day, there was a Guardians of the Galaxy and a Rocket Raccoon comic. I've read both of those. I enjoyed them both. Sounds like a lot of fun. I feel like I've really been missing out. There apparently are some graphic novel releases. Apparently, Brian Michael Bendis has been writing for Guardians of the Galaxy here lately, so I think I'm going to have to track some of this down and read some of it. This is good stuff. Anyways, I'm moving on. Prometheus 2 is scheduled to film in Australia, it seems, as Ridley Scott has been scouting out locations. Now, I didn't see the first Prometheus. Maybe I should see it. Apparently, it is in the same universe as the Alien series, but I don't know about the connection. So I guess that's something for me to go watch and find out. I mean, is this supposed to be like the early concept of where, you know, they first encounter aliens? I don't know. I really missed out, but I'm going to have to track that down. If it's on Netflix, I'm going to have to go watch it. There's also a teaser trailer for Marvel's Big Hero 6, which is an animated feature from Walt Disney Animation. Now, I don't know anything about this other than robots, and this was created by in Japan as a kind of a division of Marvel in Japan. It should be a fun watch show. It's supposed to be a rather, you know, comedic kind of comic and everything. So, very excited for this. Could be a lot of fun. I'm usually pretty pleased with most of these that Disney puts out. We'll have to take a look. I kind of like the idea of some Marvel properties that manage to lend themselves to animation. I know Pixar has expressed interest in it someday maybe doing some Star Wars. Maybe they'll do some Marvel, you know. This, you know, use of the property, I like it. As long as they're doing good work with it, I'll enjoy all of it. All right, Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice. The title has become official, and filming has also begun. Now, of course, there's some questions. Why didn't they just call it Dawn of Justice? That's kind of a cool title, I guess, by itself. Well, I don't know. Why didn't they call it World's Finest? I've seen that question on there, but I guess that's because they're really wanting to push their Justice League movie, and it's Dawn of Justice does kind of have that hint like, oh, this is going to be the beginnings of the Justice League movie by the end of it. But you have to question, is it a little too late? A little too late? We'll see. Zack Snyder is set to direct, of course, this film and also this Justice League movie. I have also heard word that perhaps a few of the characters in the Justice League might get some of the movies of their own. Maybe Wonder Woman. I don't know about Cyborg getting his own movie. But, you know, they've been announcing all these different characters going to be part of the Justice League. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm still going to probably enjoy it, I think. Even with Zack Snyder, I'm not that pleased with him overall. But, you know, it could be fun just to see the DC answer to Avengers, because really Justice League was first in the comics. They were just a little dragging their feet with the idea of actually ever making a movie themselves. They're a little behind the curve, I think, but, you know, this could be their big step to kind of come back. Warner Archive Instant Service. Now, I have not heard of this until now. You heard me mention this earlier. It is set to stream the old Filmation Adventures of Batman, Adventures of Superman, and later, coming in June, is going to be an Aquaman series. These are considered some iconic series. These are from like the 1960s, 1970s. When Filmation was making these. Now, Warner Archive will cost you $9.99 per month, and it is viewable on your Apple TV or your Roku. You can even watch it on your PC. I'm not sure how far the service has spread. I did find out that there's a podcast of Warner Archive where they talk about different type of things. I don't know if I'm that worried about listening to it, but if you are, then just search it on iTunes. That's where I bumped into it, because I was trying to get some information about it. Anyways, in video game news, be on the lookout for a teaser for Disney Infinity 2 that showcases the Avengers playset. And there's also supposed to be a teaser out now for a game called Middle Earth: Shadow of Mordor. They have cast some voices for that. I don't really know much about this game. I haven't really followed up on a lot of Lord of the Rings games. Maybe I should. I do have an interest in the Lord of the Rings Lego game. I played a little bit of that on the demo, and it is fun. Usually those Lego games are. But I know they've been making a lot of different ones. There was, golly, what, it was like a strategy game, Battle for Middle Earth, I believe it was, that came out. And, you know, I haven't really been paying attention to these things. Maybe I should be. I don't know if this is somewhat connected to that. I don't know exactly anything about this game other than there's a teaser out there, so go check it out. Now, that's not a whole lot of news, I know. But I don't want to run long like I've been in the habit of doing, and we still have an X-Men review to get through, and also a nice conversation with frequent guest Philip about X-Men Past, which is kind of funny the way I said that, because the new movie is X-Men Days of Future Past, and the review is coming up next.
Now by First Class, but for a while I did, because the director of that film, and it's not his fault, the producers told him at first that First Class had nothing to do with the other ones, it's not connected. And so the poor director was trying to make it separate, but yet he had Hugh Jackman others show up for you, as you know. And it was like, I didn't know how to accept that film, because was it connected? Was it not? Now we know for a fact that they've made it connected.
Yeah. They've reconnected everything. X-Men 3 being a terrible film doesn't matter. Oh, whoop. Oh, I thought that we were about to get an extra scene. But overall, okay, so you've just heard some early review stuff. But overall, we liked it. We're trying to be spoiler-free as best we can.
Yeah.
They did, of course, some changes, but it seems like they're trying to get on track. Fox appears to have figured out that after Avengers, you've really got to step up and actually keep it closer to the comics and set everything back to right, and decided, oh, you know what? We messed up things with X-Men. Let's try again and fix it and get back, and so we can make more X-Men movies and make them good. Seems that's like can kind of sum this up pretty good.
Yeah.
They've got to where they can continue making X-Men films, like Marvel's able to keep going with Marvel Studios.
The way I've been in the last 8 years, even when I've seen the films like Wolverine and The Wolverine and First Class, ones that are pretty good, I couldn't help but always look back and say, man, if only number 3 didn't suck, because no matter where, how good these prequels are, the sequels, we know where it's going to end. But they've kind of fixed it.
Now, there's still some weird things. Like, I still, after watching The Wolverine this week, he had his claws chopped off. He regrew the bones, but it didn't have the adamantium. Where did he get his claws back here for the future in this movie?
Well, only God knows.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't solve that little issue.
They did manage also, another mistake I got to point out, they killed off all of the characters you saw in First Class, which means they've killed off Emma Frost, but yet she's also in X-Men and Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, there are certain things they had messed up in those at those times, but, you know, there's only so much they could fix, I guess.
Yeah. Now, if they could only fix the fact that Havoc is Cyclops' younger brother, and yet he's alive in the 60s, they completely blew up on a lot of other ways. But they at least they've shown potential they can make some good movies from here on, because they've reset the X-Men almost back to where we were about X-Men 2. Mm-hmm. So, I think we can say that safely without spoilers.
Which was... what, 10 years ago? X-Men 2.
Well, so it basically took 10 years to fix
10 years to get back on track.
Yeah. Which they feel threatened with Disney and, you know, Paramount before them doing so well through Marvel Studios. Because I did notice when this one started, it wasn't Marvel Studios. They just had to put the Marvel label on there.
Yeah.
So Marvel isn't quite getting to make these themselves even for Fox to distribute. Fox is still making them themselves.
Yeah.
But they do see the threat now on the potential that these movies could have if they do the characters right. So it seems they're wanting to get back to where they have a shot at trying to do something. And they've got more mistakes to fix. Well, there is already plans for X-Men Apocalypse next, which could be awesome. And then, of course, a Gambit movie or two.
Could be.
So they've already cast Gambit.
Yeah.
So we haven't got much of your thoughts, though, Seth.
Well, you know, you guys are pretty much, with your guys' theories going around, I mean, you know.
I like seeing Bishop.
Yeah, it was nice to see Bishop. I did find it strange that he had to use his gun to use his powers. I guess it does kind of help, because in the comics, Bishop, you know, he could absorb absorb energy and then project it from his hand, but yet he still carried a gun, which never made sense. So I guess they fixed it. They said, oh, no, he's using the gun to help project his power.
Yeah. It's deep thinking, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's what they were thinking, what they were going for.
All I know is we don't want anybody associated with X-Men 3 back on this stuff.
Exactly.
Because from my understanding, they had the original writing team back on this and everything. So
yeah,
it wasn't
Bryan Singer back directing again.
Yeah, he did good.
Without making any political statements of his own.
Yeah.
I appreciated that.
Yeah, me too.
So I'll leave that said as far as that's going to go. Now, I have noticed, though, that they've decided a slightly different direction where Marvel Studios is kind of doing things through Disney. They keep their films completely clean. Fox seems to be going from the idea of, oh, let's have a bit more language, and they decided to go ahead. And you know what? Everybody wants to see Hugh Jackman's butt, don't we? So we get to see it.
Well, we know. I disagree with a lot of people's opinions where they're saying that all these things with Wolverine needs to be rated R because he can be so overly violent. I'm thinking you can get the idea without showing all blood and guts and stuff and butts.
Yeah, so I think they came too close to even in the Wolverine when he's in the bathhouse. It's like, you know what? You don't need to do this. This is a comic book. People want to take their kids. So if you push things too far, you can't take your kids.
That's where rather be on Facebook or other places where I disagreed, and I said, listen, money, as you know, at the studios, money is first.
Right.
More people can come if it's rated PG or PG-13 than can with rated R with their kids.
Right.
So therefore, more money you will get if you stay away from all the violence. That's just how it is.
Well, you
know, money you will get.
because you can bring your kids, and that brings more people to make money.
On a Marvel movie.
Washington D.C. actually says here. Okay. Well, there might be something here at the end of the credits, which I will pause this, and we'll say whether or not you should stay to the end of the credits.
Look, they didn't have Hail to the Chief.
Yeah, because they played Hail to the Chief.
I thought we had to have a copyright to it.
Okay, well, I'm going to pause this and come back whenever we see what's at the very, very tail end. Okay, so now we just saw the extra thing at the end, the credits. Heckfire, yes, stay. They had that same message at the end of the Wolverine of making authorized distribution and has created 15,000 jobs. That's nice. Well, I must say, though, I had a thought, and now you drove it out of my head. I got distracted. Well, we saw. Oh, it seems they are definitely taking cause from what Marvel Studios is doing with Disney of previewing what you're going to do next at the very end. Like Guardians of the Galaxy was previewed at the end of Captain America the Winter Soldier. So they did preview what's coming next in the X-Men universe.
And also,
so
in Thor, the second Thor, you see the villain for the.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of. Yeah, I was thinking. I'm sorry, I was thinking Thor instead of Winter Soldier. as where they showed a preview of the Infinity Wheel stuff, and apparently, and I have seen the guy in that in the trailer now. We saw the trailer we just saw.
Actor. Yeah. He's been in a lot of films.
Yeah, and he's apparently the bad guy in Guardians of the Galaxy, and he was in that little thing at the very tail end of Thor.
Including the movie that made Bryan Singer huge. Is the Usual Suspects.
I haven't seen that.
Well, it's good. It's got a lot of language, but it's good.
All right, I'll have to check it out. Well, right, signing out. So that's pretty much our review of X-Men Days of Future Past.
All right, Neverlanders. We have once again, you're kind of pretty much the co-host around here. We have Phil back.
You are correct, sir.
Phil has been on more episodes, I think, than anyone else, other than me, of course, every time. So, but we have some fun to talk about. We're going to geek out hardcore.
Woohoo!
Because we're going to talk X-Men, and already in this show you will have heard my review of X-Men, and I'm actually recording this before I see the movie, just like last week with Godzilla.
Ah.
So, I don't know. Hopefully, you will have heard that I liked the new X-Men film. So, I love doing this backwards like this, you know, and just to catch people off guard.
You always do things backwards. It's okay.
I got to. So, but it went pretty well last week with talking about Godzilla before we actually got a chance to see the new movie. So, you know, but let's rewind the clock and everything to let's talk some comics and everything. So, how much of the 80s stuff have you gotten to see? Have you gotten to read any of the like the old Chris Claremont stuff?
Yeah, that's when I first started hearing about the X-Men, of course. I don't know how much of that I've read. I don't remember who wrote what. I just remember as a young man, I had a few friends who were collecting X-Men toys, even some teenagers who collect like the... these were like...
Not that we didn't do that.
Oh, no, we did, and still do to a certain point. But anyway, yeah. I saw some of these characters. I never heard of them before. And then I remember my brother had a cookbook, a Marvel cookbook, which I still have. cookbook, and it had these characters I'd never seen. And I honestly thought this one character looked to me like a weird Batman. Of course, I know now that was Wolverine.
Yeah.
And but anyway...
Well, I thought Wolverine was the villain. The first picture I saw of him was him with his claws out standing on a big pile of bodies.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, wait a minute. Superheroes don't kill.
So it was, that's just how I got to know them is through other people. But my brother-in-law, right after my sister got married, he had these little bitty die-cast figures that he painted of the X-Men at the time.
Oh.
And so he started showing me a few of the characters, and I gotta admit, I got hooked.
Yeah, I kind of came along later, but of course, we'll jump into that. I almost, you know, if we want to dig in some history, the X-Men, because let's see, they first popped up in 1963, right? Mm-hmm. And it really didn't succeed. It was supposed to be a bit of a commentary on racism and everything. Here's the thing that's always bugged me about X-Men. Okay, so they're supposed to be hated and feared because they're mutants, and they're mutants because, well, they were all born and they have powers. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, they can't always control their powers very well. How does that make them different from the rest of the Marvel Universe where everybody else has powers?
Yes.
So how come they're supposed to be hated and feared for having powers, but yet, well, Spider-Man kind of is kind of hated and feared, but that's J. Jonah Jameson's
fault.
And the Hulk. Well, Hulk, though, smashes things. But most of the guys we know with powers... Well, we're not afraid of them, but you guys, because you were born with your powers. So that never made sense. I mean, I get they were trying to do a commentary, but it just doesn't stick up.
I have a friend named Frank, and he's brought that to my attention for the last 20 years.
It just don't make sense.
Yeah.
But they were making a statement. It didn't quite go over well, and so the first comics of it actually kind of failed until they brought it back. What was it, 1970s, I think.
It was still around, but it didn't do all that well.
Wasn't
in 1975.
I was thinking 75, but I wasn't sure.
The first giant size X-Men.
Which introduced Wolverine, who actually, he was been introduced before as someone to fight the Hulk.
Yeah, that's right.
But brought him into the X-Men, and they decided he was a mutant.
Wolverine,
Nightcrawler,
Colossus,
Storm. Yeah.
Warpath, Sun.
Was Warpath in that one?
Sun.
I just remembered that group of like five that...
Yeah, no. Also, he's even on the cover.
Because I know you've got a reprint of that.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, because I know I've read it, and it must have been from you.
Probably.
But the story on that one is like all the X-Men except for Cyclops have been captured and everything. And
Sunbeam
so,
or whatever his name is, the guy with the
Sunspot.
I don't know, one of those.
But
guys.
Cyclops is sent to go and recruit a new team of X-Men and everything to go, and that's what caught on. But really, what made it popular is in the 80s with Chris Claremont, and he did things like the Phoenix Saga and the Dark Phoenix Saga, which I do have a copy of the Dark Phoenix Saga. Very good read. Days of Future Past. Yeah, I believe he wrote that one, which is what the new film is. But I didn't really catch on to the whole thing because I'm one of those Marvel guys that I I didn't have money to go buy comics, so I had to read other people's stuff for a long time. But I was familiar with Spider-Man from back when I was a kid. You know, he was on the Electric Company, and then Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, and the Incredible Hulk on the TV series scared me to death, but the cartoon was awesome. So I was kind of familiar from that. So X-Men I had kind of heard of, and some other people had some stuff, so I was like, okay, this is the kind of a thing. But what really started getting me like, well, what is this anyway, was I was in a bowling league. I think it was freshman year in high school, and I saw the six-player stand-up arcade game. Okay, so there it was back in 1991. I first saw the six-player stand-up of X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it played kind of like the, you know, we were already big fans of the Ninja Turtle game. So when I saw the thing, I was like, it's like the Ninja Turtles, only it's these X-Men people that I didn't really know anything about. Now, I had heard some stuff before because there had been people who talked about Pride of the X-Men, which I had not at this time. I'll have to share that theme here in a little bit, which I did not see because I didn't know who they were. But you saw the first run of that, right?
Yes, I did. It was in the 80s. I remember I was sick on a Sunday morning, and Warner Brothers used to have this Sunday morning show.
You mean Hanna-Barbera?
Did I say Warner Brothers?
Yeah, you said Warner Brothers.
Sorry, Hanna-Barbera.
Now, granted, you know, Hanna-Barbera has been bought out by Warner Brothers.
Yeah, but, so that's kind of ironic.
But it hadn't happened, I don't think, at that time.
But anyway, there was cartoons where they used to have, like, Paw Bears and Yogi
Paw
Bear.
Paw Bears.
Yeah. And then, but anyway, they had, sometimes they show Spider-Man stuff. And on this time, they showed the X-Men cartoon, and I thought it was awesome.
Pride of the X-Men. Let's go ahead and play that theme right now. Why not?
No place to hide. No place to run. No place to run. Mutant aim. Mutant aim has now begun.
Welcome.
Okay, now see, the arcade game was actually based off Pride of the X-Men. They were expecting it to be a launch for a series, but it didn't quite go anywhere.
Yeah.
And I think part of the problem was they did some weird things like giving Wolverine an Australian accent for some crazy reason.
Yeah.
So it was supposed to spin off and been this big thing, and they made an arcade game based, you know, the animation style and the look of the characters was completely based off that cartoon.
Yeah, it was very different. Different from what we're used to of X-Men. I remember that was about the time where I saw that cartoon that I'd seen some toys. They were called the Secret Wars. And I saw that they had made a Wolverine where the claws you had to clip onto his wrist.
My goodness.
But, you know, it was wonderful. And they didn't have a toy line of X-Men until about the time of that video game.
That was Toy Biz, I guess, was the first one that started making them. And they were really kind of stiff and blocky.
But they kind of... they did so well after a while. First few ones were weird. I still have a few of them. But
I used to have all mine, and then I gave them up.
I have a lot of them because so many memories of the X-Men through those toys.
and I kind of wish I still had a lot of my old stuff. If I'd have just known then what I knew now. But the funny thing is, okay, so that same day after I saw the arcade game, I had gone home and I was telling Jim, you know Jim and Nick and his brother Nick and everything about the arcade game and everything, and they actually had already started collecting the X-Men trading cards.
Yeah.
You remember those? Yeah. I think they were up to series 2 or something by that time.
I still have some of them too.
I had a pretty good set of them and I can never find them. They're gone. Huh. Sort of like I think series 3 of my Marvel cards I can't find. I can only find like series 4. I don't know where they went. I lost them even back at the old house before
I still have them too.
that was when trading cards were becoming big, and so we all kinds of Marvel ones. They had X-Men specific ones.
I came to your house with you and your brother David, and that's that day that I bought, if you remember right, you know, just a whole heap of those cards, and we were putting
them in
the
little book. Yeah, we were sorting them out and everything.
I put them in that little book, which they're still in.
Most of them are. I kind of wish they still made those. I'd probably go out and buy some again if they did another Marvel set. Because eventually they've got to where they did like the Marvel Masterpieces, where they had the full painting ones. And but those were great times. But yeah, that's where I got to kind of learn a little bit about, I saw some of the different characters on these trading cards, and then started reading some of the comics. I think I borrowed some of the comics from you at first. May have, at least. I think only I read a lot of your Batman.
Yeah. I still have a lot of those old X-Men comics still.
Oh, I got all mine. I even have the very first X-Men comic. Okay, there was we were going down with our church. We were going down to Eureka Springs, go watch the Passion Play and whatnot, and we'd made a stop. We made a stop somewhere, and I'd picked up a couple of comics there, but I think I even bought some while we were in Eureka Springs. But that's where I bought, I wish I could think of what number it was. That'd be awesome. But I had an X-Men, a Wolverine, and an Amazing Spider-Man that I had purchased while there. Of course, Spider-Man ended up being my overall favorite, but it was kind of cool. I still remember, with X-Men, it was the newer series style, because it had then been running in Uncanny for however long, but then they had the new X-Men book.
Yeah.
And the one I'd had
was...
Just known as X-Men. And it had Ghost Rider guest starring in there, and it was my first introduction to the Brood, because the Brood had been infecting people in Louisiana, and this introduced Gambit to me, because it was in his town, and it was Gambit's former fiance and everything, and Ghost Rider actually got infected and turned into one of the Brood, and they had to like save him from it. And then the Wolverine comic I had actually introduced me to Spiral and Mojo and Mystique. They were all in there, and Mojo was for a TV show. He was creating the end of the world, and was trying to record it for his show.
I feel fine.
So I get to learn all these new characters, and that was kind of the launching point. And then from there, it's like Uncanny X-Men 300 was like a big one, and then I started back collecting and got X-Men number one. I started collecting and reading all this stuff.
The thing I remember about those days with the collector cards and all that stuff. I remember that they had the Uncanny X-Men, and then they had the X-Men by itself, and what they did was they had two different groups. You had the
Gold Team and the Blue Team.
That's it. And I usually liked the Blue Team because you had Wolverine and Gambit, who's still my favorite.
And Cyclops, who's still my favorite.
They had all these great characters.
I wish Jean Grey had been over there. She was my other favorite.
Rogue is my second favorite. You know, there's that whole thing between Rogue and Gambit I loved, and you loved the whole thing between Jean and Cyclops. So.
And they split me between two books, so I had to read both.
Yeah.
So, and I got subscriptions, though, to Uncanny.
I think that was your plan, brother.
I had a subscription to Uncanny at some point, but then, then things got really awesome, because finally, and you were over, and it was Halloween, and you were over at the house. I think we'd had a sleepover thing or something. Yeah. And then, finally, we'd been waiting and waiting on Fox Kids, when finally, here it comes! X-Men cartoon.
It was awesome.
And they premiered one episode of the first half of Night of the Sentinels, and then kind of made us wait, you know, and had a second one, and then finally they started the series with Magneto there. But finally, it's like you'd half expect they'd start with the originals, which would have been, you know, Cyclops and Marvel Girl, or Jean Grey, Iceman, Beast. And Angel. You thought they would have had them all in there, but no, you got some of the originals, but then you get a lot of the other newer characters.
But at least they always had special guests, and so even though you wouldn't get the entire story, you would have Angel or Archangel.
Yeah.
And all that
first
stuff.
Season, at least, he was there.
They tried to put them in there, and Beast was at least around.
Yeah, Beast was a regular, which was awesome.
For all you nerds, and I'm sure you know, Beast originally wasn't this blue-hairy guy. He was originally... he had hair and stuff, but he had big old feet.
He was big, misshapen, strong, powerful.
And then it wasn't until he was in the Avengers, actually, that he became the hairy beast, and actually he was gray. At first, much like Hulk, you know, but the
probably something wrong with the color department. Yeah,
so they made him blue.
He experimented trying to cure himself.
Yeah,
and made it worse.
That's what I loved about the X-Men, though, was much like with Spider-Man, I loved how a lot of times you felt bad for these people because they were trying so hard. They felt different. They felt unloved, and being a fat teenager like I was. I always understood that, but you know, what are you gonna do? I was more like the Blob.
But that's how Marvel characters, how I've gotten more into Marvel characters, is they have like real people problems when like over in DC, all their characters are like gods. You know? But that's even kind of a different thing. Like whenever they've merged over and did some crossover stuff with DC and Marvel, the DC characters are always criticized the Marvel heroes. Like, you should be considered godlike around here. You guys are just lousy heroes because they should all love you. They don't all love you, and you seem to be keep having problems. And it's like, as a Spider-Man could have just said, we're all not Superman, you know? So,
well, nobody's perfect.
Yeah, nobody's perfect, you know? We can't all be Superman. So, but yeah, that was always kind of why I liked Marvel characters better, is they were like regular people just that had these powers, and they were just trying to do the best they could.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that was always kind of, but anyways, X-Men. So, we get this great series, and I think it was like, wasn't until like the fourth or fifth season we finally got Iceman to show up.
Yeah, I don't remember what season it was. It might have been three or four, I don't remember. But I do know that I wanted to see Bobby.
Where's Bobby? And it was kind of a neat storyline they had where he had like, had a disagreement with the professor and had left. But during the flashback sequence in the cartoon, they actually showed like the originals in the old uniforms.
Yeah,
I love that they do that.
I remember the sound effects usually bothered me because it was so over the top, the way the actors would speak and stuff. And
oh, it was great.
But you know, that's what we call charm.
That's what we call charm. You better believe it. Okay, now, at that time, because X-Men started getting hugely popular, we suddenly started getting more video games, like the Sega Genesis. That was great. I remember we used to play the heck out of that over the summer. Mm-hmm. So our neighbors had gotten that and everything, and we would go in every time, you know, trying to get as far as we could, and it took forever before we could figure out at the very end of it, because we did find some cheat code things eventually that would get to where your life and your mutant power wouldn't exhaust every time, because it kind of was stupid that you had a limit to your power, especially if you're Wolverine and you're being limited on how much you can use your claws because you can run out.
Same problem I have with certain Superman games.
Yeah, but you had a limit to your powers, but we found a cheat method that you could do that got, you know, you'd never got hurt, you made you invincible, and you could always use your powers. But then we reached a certain point of the game. It's on Mojo's world. Everything, of course, was in the danger room, and all these simulations are being pumped in because Magneto has taken over the danger room and everything. But you're doing Magneto's or Mojo's world, and it's the end of the world is happening, and you get to the end of the level, and then you've got this thing that says, like, quick, you've got to reset the computer. And we're like, well, how? You know, we were going around and trying to look for a button somewhere on screen or something like that. And it took forever before Matt had just gotten frustrated and just like, oh, dang it, we'll never be able to figure this out. Hit the reset button, and suddenly, danger room reset, you know. And then suddenly you get to play the last level. That was so clever, but the problem is I have a ROM and an emulator where I can play it on the computer. there is no reset button, so I had to find some other cheats that let you pick whatever level you wanted to play. So if I ever, anytime I was wanting to go through and just beat it again, I'd have to get to that thing and just skip over the next level, which means I didn't get to read whatever the story stuff that happens in between when you hit the reset button. But yeah, it was kind of clever and kind of a dirty trick, really, that you had to actually reset the Sega in order to get advanced in the game. So... But then, of course, there was another game that it took me forever to finally beat this thing. Was X-Men Mutant Apocalypse on the Super Nintendo.
Oh, yeah?
It kind of borrowed a lot, I think, from, you know, Capcom was making those arcade fighting games.
Yeah.
And they had the X-Men fighting game, and then they had the Marvel Superheroes. But it seems like a lot of your combination moves that your characters were doing were taken from that game. And you even had some of your special moves, or your Optic Blast would be a typical Capcom fighting game maneuver.
Yeah.
And that's the only way I could beat that game, actually, is when you got to Magneto. The only way you'd not die instantly is I'd have to use Wolverine and use his... Berserker Claw? No, Berserker. There was Berserker Barrage.
Oh, I remember it, though.
But he had, the spinning uppercut thing he would do with his claw.
Yeah,
there was the Berserker. Yeah. Well, there was a Berserker Barrage was one thing, but they had, this... It was basically reused uppercut. Korspech Spyuken or whatever, but he would do it, and so on the game, on the last thing, Magneto would be at just this one platform, he would come over, so he'd be closest to me, but I'd be just out of his reach, and if I could just keep doing that move, it would take about half an hour, but eventually I'd get him. But that's the only way I could beat that thing.
You know, I think we're proving that this is definitely a nerd fest.
Yeah. Let's lean a little bit forward so they can hear you. Oh yeah, nerd fest, but that's okay. If they're listening to this show, it's always kind of a geeky nerd fest. Anyway, heck, it's going to have X-Men in the title for this show. So if they've listened this far, and they've even listened at all with this title, then they should be expecting this. So, but that's why you love my show, right? Okay. So, but there was another game, and we have not mentioned it. And all these games kind of came around pretty close together because X-Men was just that 90s series just launched them. But there was also the toughest freaking game. Okay, I'm not even going to mention the old NES game because it was awful. I couldn't even figure out how to get stuck somewhere in the first level. It was a terrible game. But anyway, when the Super Nintendo first came out, this was actually one of the kind of near launch games they had. It was teaming up with my boy Spider-Man. It's Spider-Man and the X-Men in Arcade's Revenge, an awesome, wonderful game. I never beat this one.
Oh, yeah?
I got real good at being Spider-Man. Well, that's kind of a given for me.
Yeah.
So, and it took a while before I could beat the Cyclops level. The Gambit one was a pain. You can never get through it. You're being chased by that. Remember, the big spiky ball was rolling after you the whole time. And he had, like, the coolest music in the whole game. He had, like, the coolest theme music. But you only last 5 seconds.
Oh.
You know? So, like, oh, that music's really cool. I'm dead.
Yeah.
Hated it. They just gave him the most difficult. And instead of making his cards this really cool where you could, like, fling him for distance, they would just pop out like he dropped his card. Oh, look. And if you held down the button for more than 3 seconds by accident, he'd fling all 52 cards and just drop them all. It was the worst designed thing. Oh, it was terrible. Now, the Genesis did get a second X-Men game that was based around the Phalanx. Remember the whole Phalanx thing?
I don't recall it, honestly.
Oh, my goodness. It started where, in the comics, there was this virus thing that was infecting mutants and everything. And eventually, you know, the Phalanx were turned out to be this weird alien computerized race thing that was behind the whole thing. And they had a whole... It built up for, like, a couple years before they had this big event called the Phalanx Covenant, where there was, like, the big final battle.
This one had, like, little squares of things. Yeah,
like, weird digital stuff. Yeah. And that was... So the second game for the Sega Genesis was based around that.
Yeah, I do remember that now.
And, you know, they made Gambit finally cool. Yeah. So he could whip some tail on that one. But, yeah, so you had all these different games... We did have some other series that would pop up later, but, you know, kind of things had faded away, and it was actually the beginning, really, of Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
Was, golly, what year was that? 97?
Well, in 1998, they brought out Blade, and that did okay, and then...
Blade was earlier than that.
No, and then in year 2000... Well, it might have been 98, actually, now I think about it. But year 2000 was X-Men.
It had to been out. Sooner than 2000.
No, X-Men came out in year 2000, yeah.
Well, no, because I was working at Kansas City Life at the time. So, yeah, year 2000. Because Blade, he was such a minor Marvel character, nobody related it. He was a knockoff bad Spider-Man villain that had shown up because he was trying to kill Morbius at some point and thought Spider-Man at one point must have been a vampire. And such a minor throwaway character, and they made him kind of cool. But yeah, the one that really got the Marvel movies really going, though, was that X-Men movie.
Yep.
Although it took me two times watching it to actually like it.
I liked it, but the same complaint I have even now is, and don't get me wrong, I love Wolverine. I love Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
But they might as well title every movie Wolverine.
Yeah, you didn't get anything hardly out of Cyclops or these other cool characters.
And that's what ticked me off.
Yeah.
As I love Cyclops, and the way they presented him in that first movie was terrible.
Also, didn't like, you know, I'm so used to Rogue having superpowers and super strength and super...
And they had to reduce her back to her beginning powers before she, you know, had Ms. Marvel and stole her powers.
And all that stuff, yeah.
And the comics had to follow suit then after the movie, and they put her back that way with just having the absorbing powers in the comics.
Yeah.
They changed in the comics, everybody's uniform turned into black leather.
Mm-hmm.
They made everything realistic, and they started throwing different spin on things where it was all about, we are the next phase of evolution. And in fact, even the modern comics now Cyclops is pretty much leading a group of pretty much all the X-Men. They have their own little private little island world, and we're just kind of waiting and protecting our own until it's our time to kind of rule the Earth.
Yeah, I didn't really
It's nothing like what it was.
I didn't get too much into all that. I will say this, though. Joss Whedon did a good job writing for a lot of those stories back then.
Yeah, when he jumped in did Astonishing X-Men, because he was trying to take it back to the way it was.
Yeah, that's right.
And make them being superheroes, and gave them back their uniforms. So thank you for trying to do that, but after him, there's still was people like Cyclops has pretty much become Magneto. He's like, well, we're going to be the next, but instead of trying to wipe out the humans, he's just going to let it happen, but they just watch after their own, and that's what got them into a fight with the Avengers.
Something else that happened in the 90s that just came back to my memory was the Age of Apocalypse.
The Age of Apocalypse.
That was a big deal.
That's what made me quit reading that. It just irritated me, that whole story.
It was a cool deal, but it went on too long.
Yeah, it did.
If it had just been like a 5-issue ordeal, but the problem was, and of course, Marvel and DC both are good at this.
Now, we should probably explain Age of Apocalypse real quick. Somebody went back and killed the professor before he founded the X-Men.
What is Magneto or someone? No, or I can't remember exactly who it was. Somebody.
Happened.
Oh, Apocalypse. Somebody did. I don't remember who. I spent so long.
And Apocalypse rules the Earth. Pretty much.
And Magneto is pretty much leading the X-Men. And Wolverine has one hand. And him and Jean Grey were together.
Cyclops was working for Apocalypse.
And he had kind of like a one-eye beam thing.
Because, well, apparently Wolverine had taken one of his eyes or something.
Yeah, it was an interesting thing, but it went on so long that I lost.
I didn't like any of it.
I lost, after a while, I lost any interest I had in it. It just went too long. It was like 4 or 5 months, it seemed like, and maybe it wasn't that long.
I think it was even longer than that.
Might have been, but it kind of lost me.
Yeah. But that one, it kind of lost me. I was like, I don't really like this storyline. And then after they restored it, they did the whole Onslaught storyline in the 90s, where like the professor had all of his dirty, evil thoughts come out and manifest themselves in this like completely invincible thing that they didn't realize was the professor.
Yeah.
And so they couldn't do anything about it. And then the professor realized it was him, and he had to fight it his own self. And it was very weird.
Yeah.
But they actually put Onslaught into the I think it was the Marvel vs. Capcom arcade game. That was the final boss, was Onslaught.
Yeah.
So
I remember that one.
So, yeah, we've backed up away from the movies. Because, all right, so the movies have kept going.
Though. Yeah. Yeah. And so the first one was good.
It was okay.
The second one was really good.
Yeah, one was awesome.
It's just like with
Unfortunately, Cyclops, they took out of there in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, he came back in the end at least. But
so underused.
I thought they did a good job of that film for the most part. It was great. And then there was the strange thing that happened where Bryan Singer went to do Superman Returns, which could have been good, but wasn't all that great. And Bryan Singer left to doing X-Men 3, and the guy, what was his name who did the X-Men 3?
Oh, I don't even know. But he's done some other stuff after that that's been, you know, like halfway pretty.
But he was
okay.
Supposed to do a Superman movie, and then he went to do X-Men 3 while Bryan Singer was supposed to do X-Men 3 and went to Superman. But anyway,
we could look that guy's name up, but I won't take the time.
X-Men 3 was not good.
Yeah, they killed Cyclops off in the first 10 minutes because they didn't want to keep him around for any longer than 10 minutes anyway.
Well,
they killed the professor. Yeah, he was going off to be in Superman.
Yeah, they killed the professor. That was a mistake. But at the end of the... And this is
at least they brought Kelsey Grammer and his Beast.
That was the best part of the whole movie for me.
Yeah.
Juggernaut could have been a lot better.
Yeah, although I did like his line, "I'm the Juggernaut," which...
Yeah.
I don't know. That he said that, I laughed out loud in the theater, because I don't know why. That just cracked me up.
Kitty Pryde was good in there. They did a good job with her.
Although the one problem I had with Juggernaut versus Kitty Pryde is, okay, so she makes him phase halfway through the floor. When he comes solid again, shouldn't his, you know, cells or whatever have been merged with the floor, and shouldn't that have then killed him?
I don't know. I'm not going to.
Because if you're half face, you've got a solid object, he was a solid object, they face, then before he completes passing through, she lets him re-solidify, he's now become one with the floor, he's dead.
The coolest part for me was Magneto picking up the bridge.
Oh, which apparently actually happened in some comics. Yeah, I think I've read that one.
That was a great moment.
I don't buy any X-Men comics anymore, I just check them out at the library.
But the movie itself was really depressing and sad, and... because they kind of, besides killing the characters, it seemed like they were killing the series. Like, there's no way to fix it. But this film that's about to come out...
Days of Future Past, which you'll have heard the review by the time we get to this conversation in the show.
Days of Future Past is one of those big you know, stories we were talking about earlier from the early 90s, late to 80s. And I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to it. I hope it's really good, and I hope that by the time you hear this that y'all know that I love it.
Yeah. Well, if you go with me, you can be on the same review. We can go maybe Saturday morning, Friday night.
Oh, that'd be great. I do know
it's going to be a busy weekend because that is my anniversary.
They've had two other films.
X-Men First Class.
Before that was Wolverine.
Right, the Wolverine Origins, which I liked.
I liked
Deadpool. Was a little screwy.
Gambit was in it at least.
Yeah, I like pretty the actor. Decent Gambit.
I like the actor. He's from.
And he's now going to be Channing Tatum, which we'll see.
Yeah, well, we'll see Channing Tatum. I'm sure we'll do okay. He's at least well-known enough that it will get some attention for Gambit, my favorite character.
Hopefully it's a good movie.
I hope so. And then, there was First Class, and then there was the one that just came out, The Wolverine.
Which I haven't seen yet. I'm going to have to borrow that from you before Friday.
Yeah.
So, because I was kind of like, I'm kind of tired of Wolverine movies. Granted, I did like the Origins one, and... but yeah, First Class was a good movie, but it was screwy because they put Havoc in there in the 60s, and that's supposed to be Cyclops' younger brother.
So you know, this is where the ultimate nerd comes out of me, where they change things that make no sense, and to me that was a little goofy.
Yeah, they just figured, we've got so many characters, and they even put some of the recent mutants from in the 2000s up into the 60s as one of the original team members.
White Queen was in the Wolverine film, along with Cyclops. Who was supposed to be in, like, I think the late 80s or whatever it was supposed to be. But anyway, I'm thinking, so how was White Queen a child, a kid, a teenager in the 1980s?
Emma Frost, for those who don't know.
And then in the 1960s, she's a 30-year-old. A good-looking 30-year-old, but a 30-year-old nonetheless.
It was just crazy. Oh, do we even want to mention that awful TV movie, Generation X?
Oh, dear heavens, I'd forgotten about it. Why did you bring this back?
Because, they had that other spinoff series. They were trying to have, like, a younger team of mutants to kind of replace the New Mutants kind of book. But they did a Generation X and had Jubilee and a bunch of new characters. And then they thought they could make it bigger by doing, so Skin and a lot of different characters that did pop up later in movies. But they did, like, the TV movie and had the one girl that had been on soap operas playing Emma Frost as she was the new headmistress. And it was an awful, terrible, terrible, terrible TV movie.
Banshee was the other one.
Yeah. Which was actually how that comic was.
Yeah.
We have to mention it, but we don't have to talk about it.
Yeah, and then there was a couple other cartoon series I liked. X-Men Evolution.
X-Men Evolution was pretty cool.
Yep, I like it.
I didn't think I was going to like it, because when I was reading about it, I was like, what, you're doing what with it, and taking it back to teenagers, and what?
They changed some things, but for the most part...
Weird uniforms.
The style was kind of fun, and it was definitely different than what I was used to, but I kind of liked that it was different than the other one.
Yeah.
It was different.
They did it differently in a way that still worked.
Yeah, it did. I remember Blob had this weird mohawk hairdo. And I liked it. Sabretooth looked really, really cool. Had a big old jaw.
You know?
I mean, you might as well put Clancy Brown in that outfit, because that's who he reminded me of.
They had a pretty cool voice for Wolverine in that one, too, that I think he's even done in some of the video games. But I still like the old 90s Wolverine.
Yeah, it sounded like
I go where I want to go.
Is this for you, Marv?
Exactly. I have that sound clip. I should probably throw it in too, just for giggles. Wherever I've got it, I think it's on my phone, so I don't think I can get it.
And then, what was the name of the other cartoon that came a few years back?
Wolverine and the X-Men, which I thought I was going to be. Oh, great! A Wolverine specific series now? Are they kidding me? But actually, that was a pretty good show too. And I'll play the theme song for it right here.
We'll be right back.
yeah, Wolverine and the X-Men lasted only one season. Same with Spectacular Spider-Man. Very good series, but all of a sudden Disney bought them, and although Disney's done some cool things with them, they didn't want anybody else animating their characters after they owned Marvel other than Disney animators. So all series were stopped.
I really wish they had continued them, though, because Spectacular Spider-Man I thought was outstanding.
It's a great show.
It was. I got really deep in it. I did.
Yes.
And same with the X-Men one.
It was like, yeah, they actually did a really good job with those shows. And Wolverine and the X-Men was a good way to, it kind of helped branch into some of the more modern spin on things with Jean, you know, the head where Jean was gone and Emma Frost was with them and had kind of that tension between her and Cyclops. Because
Emma Frost, White Queen, was such a villain back when the days of us.
Yeah, back in the old days, and even Pride of the X-Men. Men are so helpless before the White Queen.
Yeah.
You know, and then suddenly she's with the X-Men.
Yeah.
So, which is weird. And because Wolverine's popularity had gotten so out of control that they decided, oh, well, you know, Jean really should have ended up with Wolverine. No, she shouldn't have. But they decided, well, we can't just figure out what to do with it, so they can decide to kill Jean off and bring Emma Frost in and said, no, Cyclops is going to be with her now. And so they completely screwed with stuff that I was not really keen on. Now, apparently what I've been hearing in some of the newest issues, they have like a younger Cyclops and a younger Jean Grey or something has suddenly warped into their modern time. And one of the two Cyclopses has decided he likes it better in space. And I don't know. And they started his new series, Cyclops number one. I saw it in the comic shop the other day, and I almost got it, but I was like, you know what? I'm so confused and out of it with X-Men now that I'm kind of done. I just read Spider-Man anymore.
Well, who knows? Maybe they'll fix it. Maybe they'll bring that stuff back. Maybe they'll get
maybe
back
to what it used to be. If they can get back to how it was cool, you know. And
maybe J.J. Abrams will take it back into a different reality.
Yeah. Get it back. Because, boy, in the 90s, it was great. Although, for a while there in the 90s, everything had to be angsty. And so they had a few issues where nothing really happened except for a bunch of drama of, oh, we struggle. It was these long, thoughtful, drawn-out things where there was nothing but thought squares. And, oh, yes, our life is so hard. Oh, and will they ever accept us? And I keep having to deal with all these other people. I just can't explain the tension I'm under. It was five issues of that, you know. And then finally something would happen, like the issue where they had, you know, Psylocke. Very, very big, complicated history we won't get into. But they had the old Psylocke come back and meet the new Psylocke, and turn out they were both Psylocke, but they were also both this ninja assassin. That issue, before that happens, at the very end of the issue, you have this whole angsty crap the entire issue before finally at the end, oh, look, storyline, and then I, you know, was, you know, hey, cool, and then it got interesting again. But, you know, unfortunately, they also did that with Spider-Man for a while. They had his all angsty, and he got tired of being Peter Parker and only wanted to be Spider-Man. There is no Peter Parker. There is only the spider. He quit making jokes and everything. He was the angry spider there for a little while. They felt that everything had to be angsty in the 90s. I have to count that against them.
What I did enjoy in the 90s, though, is they were hitting the 30 years and all that. And so, therefore, they had the hologram issues, which I still have. 30
anniversaries.
Yeah, and I still have it.
X-Men did that, too.
X-Men
did. And they had the big things where Wolverine's adamantium was ripped out by Magneto in their anniversary.
Yeah, I still have it.
That's the stuff. And then they came around with Bone Claws.
Yeah, for a while.
Which was cool.
But after a while, that was another thing. It took them forever to bring Wolverine back into the Wolverine that we knew.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until the new millennium that they had the whole origin story.
Yeah, they gave it origins.
Although there's some problems I have with that, the whole Sabretooth being his brother thing. Like, okay, all this time you've fought for all these years and you never mentioned it.
Apparently there's an origins part two or something. I saw some of those out.
And then there's nowadays, it looks like they might be killing Wolverine off.
Yeah, he's lost his healing factor. I'm sure he'll get it back at some point, and that's how he will come back. But he's supposed to face an enemy this fall that will kill him. Now that, I will probably pre-order and actually get that. And as Phil's phone goes off, actually, this is a good time to actually wrap this up. We've got a good 42 minutes here. But that was our discussion of the X-Men. So I hope you enjoyed it. And Phil's going to go make a phone call, and you'll hear me again real soon to wrap this whole package up.
See you later, you mutant nuts, you.
Yep.
All right, and that will wrap it up for this week's Neverland podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it, and definitely recommend going to see X-Men Days of Future Past. They really did manage to, by the end, set it up to where they can now franchise out the X-Men in like fashion to what they're doing with the Avengers and all the Marvel characters that Disney is carrying on right now. So very exciting to see what the future is going to bring with future mutant outings. But they really do need to watch it and keep it to make sure that parents are okay with bringing their children, and don't push the lines a little too far just because it's not being made by Marvel Studios. There's a line you kind of want to keep to with a comic book movie, to where maybe keep the language out, keep the nudity out, keep it to a level where even if you get a PG-13 rating, parents feel comfortable bringing their kids along to make it a family adventure fun movie. Should be a popcorn flick. So, all right, but once again, you can find us at neverlandpodcast.com. Or on Facebook / Neverland Podcast. Twitter is @ Neverland PCast. The email address is podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Please contact me with any, your own thoughts on any X-Men movies would be good. Or, of course, anything that you would like me to cover. Or any, if you have a good sound file or whatever you'd like to share, let me know that you'd like to share it with everybody. Of maybe you find something cool. I have previously, shared. The read-along kind of books. If you have something like that you'd like to share, or something really kind of cool, or something you'd like me to cover, something from your childhood, and I'm thinking we might expand this beyond. This has become kind of geeky, nerdy kind of cast, but there's other things that could be you might be nostalgic for during the summer. My wife is saying, hey, we need to do something about some fun outdoor activities we do during the summer. That's a possibility, I suppose. If anybody would be interested in that, let me know. Perhaps we could even talk about some summer vacation funds, maybe your favorite vacation, favorite trip you would like to share. I don't know. We can have some fun with that. But next week, I'm not sure exactly how it's going to end up coming together, but because of the release of the new Disney film Maleficent, I am going to review that film, probably with my wife, and we're going to let the villains invade Neverland next week, so it should be a lot of fun. Might have just some pop-in guests and get people's views of their favorite villain, or we might have some special guests. I'm still working and hammering out the details. All I know is it'll be a lot of fun. You'd hate to miss it, so make sure you're here next week for the next Neverland podcast, and God bless. Don't forget your pixie dust.
Good night, Neverland!
Okay.
Okay, so I'm a renegade when it comes to paying high dollar for, quite honestly, cheap treats in a movie theater, so therefore I snuck in a lot of goodies. However, I didn't have enough in my pockets for Seth's daughter's drink, so therefore I came walking in holding there, like, you can't have it. I said, I can't take my medication. I said, you guys are raping my wallet.
Oh my goodness.
And so now I have to go get it back.
What, your wallet?
No. The pop. They wouldn't let me bring this little can of pop in. I told them they raped my wallet with their prices.
Well, they do have the new drink dispensers at this one, where you can mix your own drink up, which I did like. So, okay. What was that sound effect? Sound like Wolverine tearing something up in there. Okay, anyways, so.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.